there. Welcome to another episode of Nigeria Daily. Thank you so much for joining. I am Martia Umar. Today on the show, we'll be talking about something that has eaten deep into the fabric of the society. I'm talking about banditry. Banditry in Nigeria is a rural criminality that is fast evolving. It has claimed thousands of lives and has perhaps been the most challenging security threat for Nigeria at the moment. Trends in rural banditry ravaging northern Nigeria states and competition between bandits and the state over control of ungoverned space is captured in a documentary produced by Media Trust. The title of this documentary is Nigeria's Banditry, The Inside Story. Deputy General Editor of Daily Trust, it's good to have you join us on Nigeria Daily as we'll be discussing the Nigerian banditry, the inside story, of course, which you have covered extensively. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. So it's a whole lot of events, meeting bandits and then having a discussion with them. How has been the journey of covering the activities of bandits been so far? Because this is not your first time, obviously.
Yeah, it's been quite fascinating, challenging, of course, but also for me, enlightening. First, one thing I understand from the very beginning of my interest in covering this security problem is that there is a huge knowledge gap between what is happening and what we know. When I say we know, I mean perhaps the average Nigerian ordinary people, especially those of us in Abuja, the media coverage of it is not been really robust. Beside the coverage of reporting of attacks, so anytime there is breaking news or bandits kill 20, bandits kill 100, and that's it until another attack. So for me, that's the first interest in the journey to really understand this problem, and with every inch closer into it, I become more puzzled and fascinated by my discovery.
Okay, so you've met a lot of people on your journey to finding the reason why we have a Nigerian banditry activities going on for a very long time. And I'm sure you must have spoken to some people who would have mentioned why banditry in Nigeria triggered a lot. What do you think triggered the activities of bandits in Nigeria?
So as you rightly said, I've spoken to a number of people, both researchers and academics, people who are knowledgeable because they come from these places, and people who are directly affected. And for me, the most fascinating explanation were provided by the duo of Dr. Abubakar Siddiq Muhammad of the Amorebello University and Dr. Murtala Ahmed Rufai of the Osmanu Dampodio University, Sokoto, and Dr. Siddiq in particular traced the history of these things to many years ago, and how, according to him, exploitation and maltreatment of some of these people who now end up being the producing the bandits from their own communities, that is namely the Hadas, the Fulani. And let's listen to him. I'll come back to explain more.
Who was Alhaji Ishere?
Ishere is like a Fulani activist. And to be fair to him, he's a fairly honest person, that whenever there is misunderstanding between Fulani and farmers, he used to go and assess the situation. If a Fulani is wrong, you tell the Fulani you are wrong. And he made the Fulani to pay compensation to farmers. And if farmers are wrong, they also tell the farmer they are wrong. And if a farmer is notorious, Ishe will lead the victim from the Fulani to court. To the extent that he'll go and hire lawyers in order to protect the Fulani. Not only that, if a traditional ruler is also oppressing the Fulani, he also confronts him. And in fact, investigation of recent has shown clear insight into what actually led to his murder. It was this, his activism, confronting traditional rulers, that led to his murder.
They made a lot of utterances telling the general public that they will not and never allow the soul of Alhaji Ishere to go like that. There must be vengeance. And that was the major trigger that one could actually think about. when they started the recruitment, they were actually looking and seeking for support from their fellow Fulani folks. And those that populated the first generation of these people we call the bandits were initially Fulani.
Yeah, so as Dr. Sadiq was just saying in the audio we played, a number of people have been pauperized, some of them traumatized. And I have met some of these traumatized women in Gusau de Zamfara State Capital, and people who witnessed horror in their life. And they recounted some of their very horrible experience.
Three of them picked my husband and left with him. I was surrounded by six men with their AK-47 rifles with headlock. I was sleepy when they grabbed me and my son. They were told my husband escaped. They said there was no problem since they had us. My son and I held tight to each other. One said, "Bring him here so we slaughter him," or "Shoot two of them." They snatched him from me. He was crying. I was crying. They laid him down and slaughtered him. At night, they would tie me up and pour cold water on me. They would tie my hands from the back and tie up my legs. During the day, they would bring me under the sun and made me look up at the sun. I ran away after my mother and father were killed. Our father was wealthy. They came to him and asked that he gives them money or they will kill him. He said he didn't have. They killed him along with our mother and left with my elder siblings. My name is Hadiza Sani. I am a widow. The thieves attacked us suddenly. They started shooting sporadically. They opened fire on the men. My son was shot in the hand. Those destined to die were killed, and those who survived were taken to the hospital.
And those were the voices of the victims of bandit activities in the northern part of the country. We'll go on a quick break, but we will be right back. Do stay with us.
www.delitrust.com.
That's the home of news you can trust.
And features, analysis, and in-depth reports that are rich.
That's right. In addition, you can get much more.
But how?
Let me introduce you to Trust Plus, where you can get added value.
And where is that?
Visit the Trust Plus portal and subscribe.
You mean subscribe to become a member?
Yes, and that entitles you to exciting opportunities.
Like what?
A chance to connect with Daily Trust journalists to suggest stories you want to read and even contribute in producing the story.
Wow. Could you show me how to get a Trust Plus?
It's simple. You can visit the portal on membership.dailytrust.com now.
Welcome back, and this is Nigeria Daily from Daily Trust. Before the break, you heard the voices of the victims of bandit activities in the northern part of the country. If you want to listen to this episode again or our previous episodes of Nigeria Daily, you can visit our website at www.dailytrust.com. You can listen on Buzzsprout, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, and on NAS FM 89.9, Yola and Unity FM 93.3 Jazz. We still have Abdulaziz Abdulaziz, the Deputy General Editor of Daily Trust, who covered the activities of banditry in the northern part of the country. And we've been talking about the Nigerian banditry, the inside story. Thank you so much for being here once again.
You see that it is a flip kind of thing. And the victim becoming a perpetrator, and the perpetrator sometimes, becoming a victim. It has become a very vicious cycle of violence in which almost everyone out there can give you their own victimhood stories, even if they are perpetrators. So like the kingpin, Turji, that I met, have their own victimhood stories.
Aka kori shanu mu sun kai saniya sama da dubu sai rana sai da aka kashe muna kanne guda shidda kanne wasu ɗan yare ba su ci haka ba uwaye mu ba kotun da ba su shiga ba ba su samu shanun su bane suka kawo kanin mahaifi.
Over 1,000 cattle were taken away from us. On that day, 6 of our siblings were killed. Our parents went through all the courts, but they couldn't get back their cattle. They also connived with Ensake and slaughtered my uncle. Where does a common and sick redress? The Ensake snitch on us to the security agents who extort us. They arrest innocent people and lock them up. And if you ask, they say it's because of corn stalks. You will fine 500,000 naira and you must pay for fear of incarceration. I will swear with the Quran that the Emir of Shinkafi knows about this. My father was involved in a court case for 7 years over corn stalks. Then he went through all the courts, including the one in Abuja. Why we want peace is because security agents are killing innocent people. Ensake kill people, and so do we all, with no reason. We're not interested in establishing any religious organization. We are not aspiring to have a territory of our own, and we do not have any political ambition. We took up arms to protect the lives of our people that are being killed. It is not just because we are masterless, or we are unconscious of Allah who created us.
And that was Bello Turchi's voice as translated from Hausa to English by Shafiu Suleiman.
So, from what Bello Turchi has said, at some point they were aggrieved, they were sad, they were angry about what happened in their community. But should we say that is a justification for their actions? Take for instance, a Nigerian who has not lived in northern Nigeria before is traveling from one state to the other, or at some point find their way in northern Nigeria, and this act of banditry is being perpetrated on them. Can we say there's a justification for what they've done? Because clearly these people have no hands in what has happened to them. So what's the justification?
Well, actually, for me, there are reasons, but no justifications.
Okay.
So they can offer to objectify, to provide some reasons behind some of these actions. But of course, you can't justify it, because if you're talking about justification, it means rationalizing. This is irrational, what they are doing, as you rightly said, because you can't just because Mr. X, who is from community B, has done something to you, you just go to community B and start killing anybody at sight, which is what they usually do. And I challenged Trudy. I asked him that, why do you like extort people the way you do, whether by kidnapping or by placing levies, which they have done on some villages?
Exactly.
And his own explanation was, our own people also get arrested even though they were innocent while traveling or in some places.
Okay, so you've spoken to some traditional rulers about this, and some traditional rulers at some point in the country were even being abducted by these bandits. So what solution are they suggesting for the end of banditry in northern Nigeria?
Well, so I spoke to the Emir of Bungudu, Alhaji Hassan Atahiru, who was himself actually abducted at some point while traveling on the highway between Kaduna and Abuja.
There is a social approach that has to be taken. Now, we have lost out our farmlands. We have lost out our herding environment. These were multi-billion naira vacations, which employed millions of people. You know, so we have to find a way of restoring these things. And that's the only thing that will make people go back and have a means of livelihood, and also, you know, have some economic means by which they can go away from the bandits. It's not going to be easy, but I assure you that if there is synergy between all concerned people, effective synergy, not just by word of mouth, I'm sure we could solve this problem in not too distant future. There has to be some, comprehensive collaboration so that we can evolve a tactic of utilizing every strength that we have. Opportunities should be given to anybody who is a criminal and wants to come back to become a good person. If we don't do that, they are even negating what the Almighty has ordered us to. But then it has to be done in a very controlled manner.
And that was the voice of Emir of Bungudu, Alhaji Hassan Atahiru.
But we've had negotiations, we've had dialogue. I remember the Katsina State government.
Yeah, that is why we talk about proper dialogue or proper negotiation.
So what does proper dialogue and negotiation entails?
It entails the radicalizing.
Okay.
First, even profiling. Is this guy genuine? What are his own grievances? What are the factors who are influencing him? Who is he answerable to? And who is he commanding? You know, profiling the person properly. Then, after doing that, you need to then approach the dialogue in a very proper way.
There are state actors, when we talk about banditry in Nigeria, the governments, the security agencies, I know redeployment of security agencies keep happening from time to time in the fight against banditry in Nigeria. So did you speak to any of the military personnel or security agencies concerning this? Because this is like an eye-opener for the military or sister agencies to capitalize on and end banditry in Nigeria.
So actually, we had made attempts to, you know, get to talk to the military high commands on these issues, but we were not successful.
Mm-hmm.
We tried, but we didn't get the yes. So we just had to go with what we have.
All right. Thank you very much. I wish there's time so we can deliberate more and talk more about the activities of bandits in northern Nigeria, but there's no time. But thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much.
And with that, we've come to the end of this episode of Nigeria Daily. We want to say thank you for listening. To everyone whose voices we heard, we want to say thank you. Remember that Nigeria Daily is a Daily Trust production. It is open for sponsorship and advert placement. You can download this and other of our episodes on dailytrust.com and on buzzsprout.com. You can also listen in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio. If you're in Yola, do well to listen to us on NAS FM 89.9 Yola. If you're just not to worry, you can listen to us on Unity FM 93.3. If you have questions or comments, if you intend to sponsor any episode of Nigeria Daily, send us a message via WhatsApp on 091-389-3390 on all of our social media platforms. You can drop your comments. It's at daily_trust on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you so much for listening. See you on the next episode of Nigeria Daily. My name is Martia Omar. Bye for now.